Hey listeners, welcome to the Spoil Sports Podcast, the show that's not afraid to tell you that in Lost, we really don't know what the island was. In each episode, we'll be discussing everything we did and didn't like about video games, films, and TV shows. I'm Dermot, one of your hosts, alongside Sean, and today we're joined by Alex from the Big Red Barrel Geek Speak podcast to talk about Jessica Jones. If the name of the show didn't give it away, there will be spoilers ahead. Without further ado, here's the show.
This is your spoiler warning.
Welcome to another episode of the Spoil Sports Podcast. Today, we'll be talking, you know, all things Marvel. Once again, it seems to be a recurring thing of the show. But before we get into the intricacies of it, let me introduce my lovely co-host, Mr. Dermot Scannell. How are you doing, Dermot?
Hello, I'm fine.
Excellent. And we are joined by Alex. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm good. I'm very good. Good.
Cool, cool. And today, we'll be talking about Evil Doctor Who on Marvel. No, we're not talking about Evil Doctor Who. It could be an evil... No, we're not even going to try and play with that. He plays such a unique role. But it's not even about him. Or some say it's about him, but we're going to discuss that today. But starting with Alex, Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones came out of nowhere and seemed to do some really big, questionable things. And it's a great series. How did you find it when you first embarked on your journey with trying to take down the evil Kilgrave?
Actually, great. I kind of preferred that it came out of nowhere, so to speak. I saw that it was coming out, and then 2 days after it was out, and I loved it. Because previously I had not a very good experience with Daredevil, and since I think it's been hyped up for so long before that, and I went in, and I had such high expectations, it just couldn't deliver to me, and I kind of didn't end up watching it, which I regret now. But with Jessica, she just appeared, and we watched all the episodes pretty much in a couple of days, and it was wonderful, and we loved it.
Excellent. And just, you know, riffing off what you said about Daredevil, would it be something that will make you go back to it? Because it's more or less set in the same location, being in Hell's Kitchen. Or was it just something about Jessica Jones that you just loved more than Daredevil?
Yeah, I think so. I think it comes down to villains, and this is a bit of a controversial opinion, because I know people loved Fisk, but he didn't really catch me, but I loved Kilgrave. I might come back to Daredevil season 2, because they're gonna have a Punisher, I'm hearing, and I have another lover of Punisher living with me, and we just might have to watch it, because it has Punisher all over it, and I probably will enjoy it.
Yeah, sounds like you could be won over in the long run of things.
Yeah.
Dermot, Jessica Jones, how was that for you when you first started watching it?
Well, that's the thing for me. Pretty much everything Marvel has done so far, I've had some sort of a knowledge of, whether it was the X-Men originally, the Avengers, the various things that have come out. I've had some sort of previous experience with them, whether it was through TV shows or references that I might have picked up. But because of the subject matter, I think, that Jessica Jones deals with, and just the fact that I had never come across, like, there was no movie previous to this that we could kind of reference, this is probably the most blind I've ever gone into a TV show, so I was actually kind of looking forward to it for that reason. And I knew, seeing as Netflix had picked up these four characters that they were going to do the series on, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and the Iron Fist. Iron Fist is another one I have no idea about, so we'll see what happens there.
He's pretty awesome, I'll have to just point it out for you.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. But I don't have any reference to most of those. The only one I really had any kind of clue about was Daredevil previously because of the movie. So, like, I had known of that character. So Jessica was like completely out of the blue, and when it was announced, I just did a quick search online, see what the kind of the rough story was for her character, and immediately I thought, that's brilliant, because for me it felt closer to one of the movies that I think is underappreciated by comic book fans, and that's Unbreakable, where it's sort of it's like a real person who has superpowers. Unbreakable is a comic book movie.
Are we talking about a Bruce Willis film?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
Think about it. It is a comic book movie about a real guy who has powers. He doesn't know about it yet, and it's set in a world where powers aren't really a real thing. And it just kind of comes out. And that was the closest analogy I could get to Jessica Jones in terms of the setup, at least. Not the actual story, but the setup was very similar to that. And that's why I kind of was drawn to it in the first place. And of course, then we watched it and we thought it was brilliant.
Unbreakable is not to be confused with Unbroken. Because I had made that mistake.
That is a completely different film.
I was trying to reference this film to someone at work whilst talking about it. And yeah, it didn't go down well. But yeah, we'll leave it at that. So Alex, have you watched, other than Daredevil, have you watched any of the other Marvel series? Either it being Agent Carter or S.H.I.E.L.D.? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? They all got agents in the name, haven't they?
Yeah,
Agent Jessica Jones. Mm. Have you watched any of the previous other shows? And, I mean, where would you rank Jessica Jones in your personal list of just Marvel series in general? And why?
Oh, I would say Jessica Jones ranks up pretty high up just against any series that I've watched, and definitely comes first into Marvel. I am watching Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I do really enjoy them, despite them having a bit of a rocky start at the season one, but I thought season two was great, and season three is coming to sort of a really high at the moment, so I think they've only just been one episode released, actually, so they're not that far. I haven't watched Agent Carter, although I'm looking forward to watching that at some point, but I think it was a bit hard, or we kept missing it on TV, or there was something a bit hard to catch it, really. Daredevil comes somewhere after Jessica Jones, because I think I've watched maybe 5-6 episodes. But the reason why I think Jessica Jones spoke to me, like, that was so great, is that I have to say it's the villain. I absolutely loved Kilgrave. And the thing with Marvel is that their villains are a bit bland. I mean, you can really count on your fingers how many villains were great. Most of the time, yeah, they kind of have an agenda, but you can put so many plot holes in that agenda that they don't really make sense. And you kind of, when you go into the movie, they kind of fall flat. And to me, what the good bad guy is, and bear with me for this one, but what the good bad guy is the guy that truly believes that he's not bad, and he's not really doing bad things. It's just, you know, this is what happens. He's doing things for right reasons, or these are the way things happen. And I think that completely nailed it with Kilgrave, because you come to realize he doesn't actually understand that what he's doing is bad. And another level of that, what makes it from a good bad guy to great bad guy, is that when you can understand where that bad guy is coming from, and you can kind of sympathize. And with Kilgrave, I would go through such a carousel of emotions with him, where I would start an episode absolutely hating his guts and being despised by absolutely everything he does, then laughing at something that he says because he's unbelievably charismatic and witty. And then I would go from feeling sad about him because, you know, of his past and whatever happened with his parents before, and I keep, you know, feeling bad for him and think, oh, maybe, you know, maybe he can, you know, he might not be that bad of a guy. He might turn to be good in the end. And then he'd do absolutely something despicable, and I would hate him and be terrified by him a couple of minutes later. And I think that's incredibly hard. And the script, and of course, Mr. Doctor Who himself just pulled it off absolutely amazingly.
Yes, and he does have a really cool ability. It's I honestly think that it works well within the show premise, but I think personally the reason that Kilgrave works great within Jessica Jones is because he isn't an overly powered bad guy, which is a bit of a yawn sometimes, but I can't imagine him being as great if it was in a film about Jessica Jones, because he is very limited to what he can do, and that's why he's always trying to better himself. That's why he, you know, kidnaps his dad to help him with that. But if we were to, let's just say the Avengers and it had Jessica Jones in it and Kilgrave was one of the guys in there, you know, he isn't that powerful, but he's perfectly balanced with Jessica Jones. It's just the fact that he was attracted to her because, you know, she could do almost anything physical wise, as a few other things, and that makes a good kind of yin and yang. You know, she could do whatever he probably could ask her to do, so he was basically using her as protection and whatnot. But at the same time, it works well within the show premise, because if it was something on a bit more of an epic scale, I don't think he would have been as, you know, as useful in the premise. Jimmed, what would you say?
I'd agree with that. I think the what you're getting at there is the fact that because it's a TV show, you get more time with him. And because of that, he gets to evolve a bit in front of your eyes. When you first meet him, you've heard all of these bad things about how evil he is. But when you meet him, he's not particularly evil, or at least he doesn't come off that way, at least initially. So when you meet him, you just think, well, this seems like a pretty normal guy. He obviously has done bad things, based on what characters have said, but you have to start trying to understand him. What you're talking about there is in movies, because most of the movies we've gotten up until this point with, the Marvel Universe, all of them have been almost entirely focused on the good guys. The bad guys don't really get much play, and because of that, they're weaker bad guys. You don't really get to know them that much. The closest one we have an analogy to for Kilgrave, is Loki. I mean, he's a charismatic, he thinks he's doing the right thing, he thinks he's going to be a better ruler than Thor would be for Asgard, and he is also just, you know, he is charming, he is kind of, you almost want to root for him when you realize, oh crap, maybe I shouldn't want to root for him or whatever. So he has a similar kind of path as well. But similar to Fisk in the Daredevil series, because in Daredevil it was kind of split almost one-to-one in terms of you have a lot of time with Daredevil, but you also have a lot of time with Kingpin. In this one, you don't have quite as much time with Kilgrave as you do with Jessica Jones, but you still have that, as Alex was talking about, a kind of conflicted emotions. You're like, I really like this guy, but he's evil. Why am I liking this guy? You know, it's really well written, really well acted. He's just a brilliant character.
Yeah. So I'm going to switch over the... Let's go further down into what Jessica Jones is about. Sorry, I'm with you, Alex. There's been loads of stories within the show. So you've got everything from clearing Hope's name to Hogarth trying to get her divorce. What parts of the stories were the most interesting parts for yourself when you were watching it?
Actually, I have to say, probably if we sort of put a main story of Jessica trying to battle Kilgrave aside, which is obviously the main driving force of the TV show, but if you take all the secondary ones, I quite enjoyed the Holgraf one as well. Especially since I thought, you know, it kind of started and maybe in the first couple of episodes you didn't really understand where that whole divorce plot was going, and you're like thinking, well, do we need to know about that, about Holgraf? Maybe not. And then it pays off in, I don't remember which episode exactly, but towards the end, where Kilgrave asks Wendy, I think her name, to kill Holgraf by 1,000 cuts. And you get that whole scene, which is really hard to watch, incredibly emotional, and it's just such a great payoff to that whole storyline that was kind of very... It wasn't taking over the main storyline. It was very much in the background, and then it just has such a great ending and a kind of resolution to that relationship with the, well, I'm going to say help in inverted commas from Kilgrave, and I just found that really interesting.
Yeah. Dermot, what would you say one of your favourite or most interesting parts of Jessica Jones in the story-wise would be?
Well, I'm probably going to be different to both of you guys in terms of this. Anytime Jessica Jones and Kilgrave weren't on screen, either together or on their own, I was kind of going, let's get back to them, please. You know, the storyline with Hogarth, the storyline with Patsy and the guy she meets, or the police officer who tries to kill her initially and then they end up in a kind of a relationship with, the drug dealer who, or not the drug dealer, the druggie who lives near her, who turns out to be kind of against her. All of those were less interesting to me purely because of how good Kristen Ritter and David Tennant were. Like that whole dynamic, the two of them playing off each other, that's what I wanted. I wanted more of that all the time. Anytime the show kind of went to with one of the other characters, I was just slightly less interested. Now, if David Tennant wasn't in the show, if it was a different bad guy, and if Kristen Ritter wasn't so interesting as that character, when it went to those characters, maybe I would have been a bit more interested. But because that was so good, it felt like a drop when you went to one of the other stories. I know that that's just me. I don't know if you'd agree.
So, would you say if it was a different actor than David Tennant?
Not even just a different actor, but it was.
So, we're not talking about like either Matt Smith or Christopher Eccleston.
They don't all have to be Doctor Who's. Oh,
come on, you know he's going to regenerate at the end.
True, very true. So, what I'm saying is that main. That main storyline is really strong. Really strong. And unlike Daredevil, Daredevil had that central storyline as well that was really strong. It was kind of split at the start until it joined up towards the end between Daredevil and Fisk. And it had that storyline. Unlike that, that wasn't so interesting that the other storylines were kind of affected by it. So the stuff with Foggy and all that, that was still interesting. In this show, though, that central storyline was so strong that it kind of diminished the other ones in comparison. I still thought it was very good, and I thought the acting was fantastic, and the writing in it was actually pretty good as well. You kind of felt for these characters, even though you didn't really know them as well, especially the drug addict. I thought like his performance was really strong, and like when you started to see him cleaning himself up, you were actually rooting for him. It wasn't just some unknown kind of person. You were actually rooting for him to kind of, you know, keep strong, because as we found out, the control of Kilgrave, at least at that point, meant that he was actually going back. He was willingly betraying Jessica because of the fact that it was lasted like what, 12 hours? It was every 24 hours they met, so he was willingly going back because he was getting his fix. So when you saw him battling that, and when you saw him eventually seemingly overcome it, I don't know what season 2 is going to bring. But when you saw him overcome it, you were kind of rooting for him. So there was still like very good characters in there. But no, it was the core storyline for me that really hit it.
You touched upon Kilgrave being as, you know, great as Jessica Jones. And every time they're on screen, they were kind of good. But I felt that whenever Kilgrave wasn't there, and it was a character that was affected by Kilgrave. So up until, I think it was episode 3 when we actually properly start seeing him, his presence just, you know, haunting Jessica from the first episode, and what he, you know, basically did to Hope, and all the flashbacks and all the times that we quickly see him on screen and we've never even been introduced to him was quite powerful. So it's not the fact that he was on screen personally which made him good. It was just what kind of presence and what he kind of left behind, which was quite powerful personally. But I'll say one of my favourite kind of story parts of it was the whole, the Reuben and Robin twins that lived in the same apartment as Jessica. It was, I wouldn't say it's my favourite, but I think it was tackled very well because, as you know, Robin had his head kind of hacked off by Jessica just so she can, you know, turn herself in to protect herself and get Kilgrave to turn up, and it'll be all recorded. But it's the fact that Malcolm, the druggie, and Robin, kind of the conversations they would have when Malcolm knew that Robin's brother, Reuben, was killed, and it's the fact that everyone knew apart from her that this was something really bad, and it's the fact that, you know, twins, they're inseparable, most would say, and it was kind of heartbreaking and also great to see how they would tackle it, because I would have thought, hey, we just tell you straight away, make her cry, get her out of the show, and the fact that she was always constantly there, even to the point where they had their little group when they spoke about what Kilgrave had done to every other victim, and she actually, you know, went and followed Malcolm and listened in. And it was just the fact that it wasn't just addressed and then dealt with. It's the fact that, you know, someone's literally died who was innocent. And we hear about all these innocent people that Kilgrave has killed. But it's the fact that this one was a bit more close to home. Excuse a pun, because I know they were neighbours. But it was the fact that, you know, it was an ongoing thing that wasn't just swept under the doormat there. It was just crazy. And I kind of enjoyed the... You know, the fact that this guy had died and his sister didn't know, and Jessica had to keep it quiet because, you know, keeping more people innocent by having lies, and it became a spiral of confusion for, you know, his sister. And it was addressed nicely, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. But anyway, let's go on to our other subject of, let's skip right to the end, Kilgrave and his demise. Alex, how did you feel the wrapping up of such a big character and then having him killed at the end? I would personally say easily, but thinking about it now and in retrospective, it was done the right way. How did you feel about it?
I didn't mind it. I can't say I loved it, but I didn't mind it that much. Just overall, I thought they had sort of a very big high during episodes 7 and 8, just with all the things going on, and then when you knew that this was coming, that she was gonna finally come and kill Kilgrave, and she's made up her mind, sort of in episodes 9 till 10, I thought it was sort of slow down the whole show. And so when the actual scene came, I think we weren't riding on the high anymore. We were sort of just floating about and saying, oh, okay, she's gonna do it. And I think everything that happened made sense. I mean, we did want to see her fight Luke Cage, and I think everyone pretty much knew that Luke Cage at some point gonna be under Kilgrave's influence and start fighting Jessica. And I did think that she's gonna trick him into believing that he has once again has control over her, and actually she doesn't have control. And I actually was scared that they're gonna kill Patsy. You know, I thought that might actually happen, and I'm glad it didn't, but it might happen. I was just in general sad that Kilgrave got killed, and I don't know how, but if they can bring him back for future seasons, I think that'd be great.
Yeah. Diarmaid, how did you find the tying up of such an awesome villain?
Purely because it is an awesome villain, I was obviously kind of sad to see him go, but in terms of the story, I thought they did it really well. Maybe it was just me, but the entire premise of the show was the fact that Jessica was trying to beat Kilgrave, and throughout she was trying to outsmart him all the time, and it was only when she kind of played into his weakness that she was able to overcome him. And his weakness was her. He was infatuated with her. He thought the world of her. And the reason he thought that is because he couldn't control her. So he was, like, he thought she was special for that reason. It wasn't true love. It was, he thought that because she was different from everyone else, that they could have that proper relationship now. And that's what he was trying to do. And obviously that was messed up anyway, based on what he did in the past to her. But I thought the ending, as Alex said, you got what you wanted. You wanted that fight with Luke. You wanted to kind of that high-powered kind of fight as well. You wanted all of these different collisions to happen. So you had that Hogarth and her ex-wife. You had all of those things coming towards the end. But then the actual showdown, as you say, was a bit low-key, but I think it...
You said low-key. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Every time I hear Kilgrave, I'm like, he's better than Loki. How is he better than Loki? And then you just dropped it in there.
And anyway, I'm going to move on. So Kilgrave and Jessica, they have this confrontation. And you realize that, well, you don't realize. You actually think possibly for a second, for the briefest second, maybe she has lost to him. In terms of, you know, maybe that's how they sail away, and then season two is her having another atrocity that she can walk away from. And so anyway, there's that flashing through your head at the time. But it was when she was right up next to him and he kind of realized, uh-oh, I actually don't have control of her. And then it happens. You're kind of like, okay, that was really well done. It was a low-key moment, but she... I said it again. I'm sorry. It was a low-key moment, But it really delivered, I thought, on the drama of the scene anyway, because she finally got basically her revenge on him, which I thought was really good.
I'll quickly add to this, because I haven't watched the TV show obsessively. I've just watched it once. And the things that stand out to me, some couple of moments, you know, that moment that Luke Cage fights stands out to me. That moment where Kilgrave is locked in this glass prison with his parents and a thousand, you know, cuts. So these are kind of scenes, and also actually Kilgrave saving this family with Jessica. These kind of moments stand out to me, and I can clearly see them. However, when I think back to actually his death scene, that one is a bit blurry to me.
Yeah, which I wanted to just touch upon. So, the whole lead-up towards the end was Kilgrave wanted to expand his power, so he kept his dad alive, who was the one that created most of why he is like that. So he wanted to basically be able to control Jessica, from what I gather. So he basically upped his dosage, and it got to the point where he got to the dock where Kilgrave had a few other civilians who were victims of him, and Jessica basically could walk up to him and do whatever she wanted, but Kilgrave basically took his sister and said, "Ah, I could just, you know, it's a sister all along that I could have had." And then the bit I didn't quite like, which is only very minor, is, yes, he upped his dosage to try and make himself more powerful, but he didn't reach the point where he could still take on Jessica. I thought it was going to get to a point where, yes, she could be taken over, and then it got a bit more on an even level, even playing field. Or, like they mentioned in the season, the episode before, he could probably tell all of New York to basically climb up to the top of the highest building and jump off. I thought it was going to get to an epic moment, like, I guess, I can't separate my mind from the Marvel film endings, but having a majority of New York, or bigger crowds, basically trying to maybe kill themselves, let alone trying to get to Jessica, and it was going to lead up to this very climactic moment where she's going to have to fight through hordes of people and, you know, finally, I don't know, put a knife into Kilgrave. But it wasn't like that. It was Jessica telling Kilgrave that, you know, he still hasn't got power over her, and she snaps his neck. So I thought, okay, he didn't basically have his power increased. And to be honest, if now looking back at it, Jessica probably could have killed him a lot earlier by just going up to him. But, you know, it was based on fear, and she didn't know, but it was just one of those things where I thought, oh, yes, it's going to get epic. And then it was like, nope. You know, there's 10 guys on the shipyard, and your sister, Trish, and I'm going to walk up to you, and I'm going to snap your neck. So
yeah, but for me, at least, I thought that ending was perfect, because, number one, we've been complaining for years now that the big city-destroying endings of those movies are not as impactful anymore. You kind of want something a bit more dramatic. And in this show, the drama is between Kilgrave and Jessica Jones. So when they have their confrontation, Jessica outsmarts him for probably the first time by feeding into his ego, feeding into his want. He wanted, as you say, from his father, to get the power back to take over not only more people at once with for a longer time and all of that kind of stuff, but he also wanted, most of all, to take back Jessica, because he realized now he couldn't convince her to come with him, so now he had to try and force it again, like he did the first time. So Jessica played into that. She played into it and allowed him to think, maybe I have got it. Oh wait, no, snap, and he's dead. she couldn't have just walked up to him and snapped his neck, because at that stage Patsy was there, all of the people on the dock were there. She could have easily she could have probably ran up and snapped his neck, but by that time he could have ordered them all to shoot themselves in the head, because I think they all had guns or something. I can't remember the scene myself very well. But he could have done that, but it was only by convincing him that she was under his control that she was able to defeat him. She was able to outsmart him the one time she was able to do it, and she ended up killing him and, like, getting the mission done. And I think that's why it works for me, at least.
Okay. And just to wrap up, I'm going to throw over some questions to you. I would usually ask what your favourite moments or favourite lines, but let's, you know, keep it Kilgrave. So, Alex, what was your favourite Kilgrave moment in the show?
Oh, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I think it was that moment when you realise that he doesn't really understand whether he, when he's speaking to people, whether he's controlling them on purpose and controlling them by accident. And I think that is a real moment where you feel for him, because you understand that maybe he could have tried to be a good guy, but it was really, really hard with that power. And he doesn't really understand how it works himself. He just says things, and sometimes, you know, people do it. And I think there was a really fun giveaway line when he asked another person to go something himself. I don't actually remember. And then he goes, oh, imagine how that looked. And, you know, because he was just angry, and he just threw away that line because he was angry, and that person ended up going and doing for him. Did Kilgrave intend for him to go away and, I say, off himself, but I don't exactly remember the line. But he probably didn't. He was just a thing of the moment. But, and that's how it happened, and I thought that was a really powerful moment.
Yeah. Joe Mitchell, was your favourite Kilgrave moment?
There are lots. Obviously, David Tennant does a fantastic job. He has quippy lines all over the place. But the moment that sold his evil, that sold how powerful he could be when he wanted to be, was the, I think it was the end of the sixth episode, where they're in the police station. I think that was the one. And you realize, my God, like, this guy, he isn't... Okay, so he isn't like you were talking about at the start. He isn't the powerful villain that will, you know, that the Avengers would go up against. But the amount of power he does have is frightening, especially in this kind of universe where really the only two super-powered people are Jessica and Luke. Everyone else is just a normal person. And you realize just how much power he actually has and what he could do with it. And that's when you finally get the stakes of what Jessica's up against. And that kind of accelerates the rest of the season then. So by the end, Alex was talking about earlier, where the ending was kind of floating around at that kind of level of tension. And I think that is right. And that is the episode where it actually started to ramp up.
Okay. My favorite moment was maybe the nicer moments that Kilgrave was going through when Jessica and Kilgrave lived together in Jessica's old place. And it was the moment where he just wanted to do something right due to what Jessica was trying to persuade him with. So it was when they went across town to stop basically that father from killing those people in the house. And he basically, Kilgrave gets to use his power to basically stop him from shooting people. And it was just that moment, the fact that he used his power for good. And I guess if we were to ask anyone, if you had Kilgrave's power, what would you do with it? And it usually would be something to benefit themselves. But that moment where Jessica kind of persuaded him to use it for good reason, and the fact that he just seemed happy with himself, and he's like, we can be heroes. And it was cool. And I enjoyed that. And I think that would be my favourite moment as well. Because it's just, I believe that Kilgrave could have been turned and become a duo just for one day. And that would have been pretty beautiful. But that wraps up our episode. I know I say that every time, but we can't fit, you know, 13 episodes into a half an hour show. I am so sorry, listeners. So anyone that wants to find out more about what you're doing, Alex, on social media, how can they find you?
They can follow me on Twitter at DustyTulip_. I also write for BigRebel.com, mainly about board games and books. And I also have my own podcast called Big Rebel Geek Speak, where we talk about all the geeky things.
Which Jeremid has frequented on.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, yes.
Where the word butts seems to come up quite a few times.
Buttstastic.
Yeah. But if you want to hear about that, you've got to go and check out the podcast. But now we're going to wrap up. So thank you for coming on, Alex.
No, thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Cheers, Alex.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Spoil Sports Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please email us at spoilsportspodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sean Labode, and Dermid is at Dermid_S. If you like what you've heard, click the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.